Episode 6.
The juggernaut for most people is their technicians, mechanic. I like mechanic better than technician, but, you know, that's the way it is. But you're a mechanic, you fix cars, and all of a sudden in 1985 when I bought this company, I was an owner.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Prepare to learn just one thing from today's episode and take action on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, aftermarketers. Let's get started. I'm excited to introduce my guest today. We have Gene Morrill from Certified Automotive in Glendora, California. Welcome, Gene.
Thank you for having me.
Are you ready to share your remarkable results?
Absolutely.
Opened in 1978, owner of Certified Automotive in Glendora, California, Gene Morrill has accomplished something that has never been done before. He has won MotorAge's Top Shop 5 out of the last 7 years. 2008, 9, 11, 12, and 13, therefore prompting an in-depth interview that will be presented in two parts. Listen to some great wisdom from his passion for being an active owner, his 2 weeks-in-a-day rule, where you'll learn how he refocuses his team on what matters, to his special aha moment when he kicked himself upside the head. Gene also has a perfect customer model, and learn how he intends to move to a 2 to 3 day work week. There's a lot to learn from Gene because he is a giver and wants to share his remarkable results. Here's part one. Let's go. Listen, tell us about your business, the number of years, the number of bays, techs. Do you have a service advisor?
Well, I have actually been in business at the same location for 37 years. I started here when I was a very young man. We've expanded from 4 bays to 15 bays. Right now we have 5 technicians, 2 service advisors, and some support people. So we have 10 employees total at this time.
That's a big, big shop.
It certainly is.
So you started in what, 78?
78, right out of high school. And I was hired by the owner. And then 7 years later, I bought the company. And the story is interesting. I don't know, later on or now is a good time.
No, tell us now.
Well, actually, I came out of high school not knowing what I wanted to do. My high school auto shop teacher, back when we had high school auto shop, gave me the opportunity to go to Citrus College with a $50 scholarship. And little did Tom Laughlin know, he changed my life and the direction of what I wanted to do. So I went to Citrus College and the automotive department. And this shop was originally started by 3 Citrus College automotive instructors, so they had an avenue to stay up to date on how, you know, the modern world is working. Sometimes when you teach, you lose sight of industry.
Sure.
So myself and another gentleman from the college was hired very young age, and we kind of ran the shop in the mornings and afternoons and went to school. And then 7 years later, we had the opportunity to purchase the shop, and we did. And I can never thank those 3 instructors enough for giving me an opportunity to, you know, to start my life and just turn into something awesome.
That's a great story. And there are so many people that are in your particular position in life that could go back and equate their training, their high school, their opportunity to join a company back in the day, and then ultimately buy it.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. And just last week, the owner that I bought it from called me. He just turned 89, and just to tell me how proud he was of me for making the company he started into what it is today.
Oh, what a great, great story!
I just brings tears to your eyes. You know, the I owe that man so much. It's unbelievable.
I'm sure you do. Tell us, Gene, about the size and the feel of your community. What's Glendora like?
Glendora is a super exciting hometown feel community. Tons of volunteers. Our community volunteers for everything. We have people that are just willing to step up and do whatever it takes. We have a very strong coordinating council that honors volunteers every month, which I'm a part of. Very little industry, mostly housing. It's right up against the mountains. It's one of the known for schools, the best schools. The reason my wife and I moved here is the schools for our children, phenomenal. We just have a super super great community. Harder for the younger folks to get in because the housing prices have kind of gone up. But, you know, that's a challenge that, you know, we overcame as a young people. So, you know, hopefully other young people will do that as well.
Sure. Excellent. Sounds like a great little community, a community based of volunteers. Gene, let me ask you this. What's one thing that makes a great shop?
Well, you have to have, in my opinion, an active owner. And not to say he has to be there every moment of the day, but it helps. But having policies and procedures, clear guidelines, clear direction, and I failed at this for many, many years, is you hire somebody, you say, go fix cars or go write service. And your, you know, way of doing things is obviously not the way everybody else is going to do it. And so what I have learned is you write everything down. And the biggest problem with that is getting your staff to read it and follow it and be consistent. But you have to start with it written down. You have to start with direction. And then I call it the 2 week and a day rule. It seems like 2 weeks and a day, your staff kind of falls back into their old habits. So every couple of weeks, you have to get down and remind them, have a meeting, say, remember, guys, this is what the direction of the company is. This is our goals. This is our key numbers, our targets, and even at that, it's still a challenge.
That's a great story. 2 weeks or 2 weeks and a day rule, and that's about reinvention.
Absolutely, and I never believed it, but I'll challenge anyone that's an owner out there to give somebody a task and wait 2 weeks and a day and see if they're still on track the way you wanted it and explained it and handed it to them. It's really eye-opening.
A regeneration and a refocus. That's an excellent takeaway. Thank you. Hey, what is one thing that has you fired up right now?
You know what? What really gets me going is our industry is so fractured and it's sad. You know, between the parts people, the dealers, everybody is going their own directions, and now is the time more than ever with technology, with staffing. We need to pull together and have a common goal. Legislator just drives over us every single day because whether we're too busy, don't care, what I don't know what the reason is. I belong to several automotive organizations, and even within the organizations, the direction is so poor. We do a great job, don't get me wrong, and we accomplish a lot of things, but it could be much, much better than it is.
Thank you. What's a habit you wish you had?
Boy, I was thinking about that, and many habits I wish I had. But one of my the things I wish I could do is have the focus to finish a project. I seem to get hot and heavy, get an idea, work, and get to that last 80 or 90%, get frustrated, and I put it aside to finish later, and I either never do or come back to it, and I create a lot of grief for myself because I have all these piles. I'm glad you can't see my desk because I have it in organized piles of things I'm going to finish, and that's kind of, after reading that and thinking about it, I'm going to try and recommit myself to finish some things.
Is it that you can't delegate these final pieces to anyone?
No, I think it's the fear of finishing it. You know, because once you finish it, then you have to move on to something else. Whereas if you don't finish it, then you always have something to do.
But where's that sense of accomplishment that you did finish?
Well, and that's the other thing that I lack is the sense of accomplishment. And therefore, if I finish something, I could probably kill two birds with one stone if I, you know, really just hunkered down. And I think owners have that, that's why so many owners are out working in the shop, because we're fixers. And the satisfaction of being an owner and doing marketing and writing policies and procedures is not very satisfying versus a car comes in broke, you fixed it, hoo-yah, you know, I fixed the car.
Exactly.
And you have that satisfaction. So most owners are afraid to be in their office at their desk doing these things, in my opinion, because there's no sense of accomplishment.
So the satisfaction of going from point A to point Z in an hour or two is very satisfying, and leading and managing is a completely different tack.
Even if it's out sweeping the floor, you know, the floor was dirty, Now you cleaned it, and you know, because owners do silly things like drive people to home. They fix things in their shop when they shouldn't be. They should be doing, you know, owner, you know, obligations to the company, and it just, it's tough.
Gene, what wakes you up from a dead sleep at 2 a.m.?
You know, and that's another thing. I'm kind of, I don't know if I want to say a freak, but I love my business, and I always think about the business. And when it's hard because a lot of us that I talk to have the piece of paper next to you, or you jump out of bed and you have an idea, man, that's how I'm going to fix the problem that I've been working on, you know. And so and if you don't write it down, of course, when you wake up in the morning, it's gone. So it's important that when I wake up is to run out in the kitchen or whatever and write it down, or write myself a note, or put, you know, something on my finger or whatever. So
listen, I have a white paper that's free on my website, and it's called Ideas Matter, and it's all about list making and getting things done. So I think you would appreciate that. I think you'd relate to it. Hey, what's your biggest strength as an entrepreneur?
I think my biggest strength, because I have very, or I had coming up, very little education. And I think that's the juggernaut for most people, is their technicians, mechanic. I like mechanic better than technician, but you know, that's the way it is. But you're a mechanic, you fix cars, and all of a sudden in 1985, when I bought this company, I was an owner. And we have no training. You know, we don't think we need training because we're smart. And it really hurts us. I think my biggest strength over the years has been my ability to recognize that and to do something about it, and to get training, coaches, and educate myself. And I think that's there's so much technician training out there, and so little, you know, service advisor training, and there's a lot of owner training out there, but it's so expensive that we're all afraid to spend the money. And my wife is probably the smartest person I have right now, because I was struggling back in 2002 and 3, didn't have any direction, and she made me sign up for one of the big $20,000 2-year programs, and probably turned our company around because I got knowledge, you know, and learned what profit was and gross profit was and how to make it, why to make it. And all those things are so important that most owners don't know or recognize they need.
Your biggest weakness?
Oh, Jiminy. People, staff, understanding, being a psychiatrist when I'm not, you know, having understanding or empathy for your staff, because we all have problems and we all have issues, and I'm the kind of guy, I hired you to do a job, I brought you in, I trained you well, I showed you what to do, just do your job. And then unfortunately life gets in the way with, you know, your family members are sick or have cancer, or you made poor choices and you're dead up to your eyeballs. So all that stuff, you know, your staff, you have to be understanding and help them, and I'm not good at that. And that's why I love having my wife's come into the company just kind of part-time recently, and she's my buffer, and she's the person that they can go to and say, I'm having a bad day, or this is going.
So she does this for you, but yet you haven't overcome that weakness, and she's the one who makes it happen?
Right. I do care about people. It just, when you're in the battle, the heat of battle of trying to make money and trying to survive in this competitive, crazy world we live in with all the laws and regulations, it's hard for me to want to know, well, you know, I'm paying you a good wage, why can't you pay your bills? You know, why are you in debt? Why are you borrowing money from us? You know, I have a hard time with people, and I belong to a group process, and that's the biggest thing the group process has helped me with, is to get in tune with my emotions as far as being really tough on people and letting it go, and being a little more, I don't want to say sympathetic because that's probably not the right word, but you know, more engaged with the people and smiling and being happy. How you doing? How was your weekend? I never asked that, and everybody thought I was in a bad mood all the time because I walk in, do my job, close my door, whatever. instead of going out and say, hey, Greg, how are you today? How was your weekend? You know, and it's the simple things like that that make a huge difference in your company is just acknowledging them. Now, and when they have a great week, you praise them. And I was very poor at that. When they have a bad week, you talk to them and say, what happened? Let's fix it. Let's make it better. You know, just a little more communication, you know, and, you know, if they went fishing for the weekend, ask them if they caught a fish. I mean, silly things like that make a huge difference.
It sure does. Hey, you woke up this morning. You found out that you won an award. What would it be for?
I think the biggest turnaround in attitude. My group named me the boss hole because I was really hard on my staff. Really hard. I'd come in, and if the numbers weren't met, I'd hammer guys to the ground. And this has been about 4 years now since I've made a really good change. And I thank my group for that because it was really putting a lot of stress on the company and changing from that, you know, they call it, you know, you've heard it before, the seagull manager, where you fly in, you crap all over everybody, then you fly out. I used to do that a lot. And through my group and my business coach, they just beat me up so bad, and that I came in and apologized, and we started going on this. If you're not in a good mood, you're going home, and that includes myself. If I'm not in a good mood, I either lock myself in my office or I leave, and we keep that attitude on a positive level.
So you know your limitations.
Absolutely, and it's helped so much as far as everything in the shop.
Gene, take us to a moment in time of an incredible aha moment that you've had. Tell us the story.
Again, it relates back to my group and my attitude. It was, you know, we have group meetings where you fly to other shops and you meet people. And back in Maryland, I met another shop owner, Jim, and his shop was very similar to mine. He was as big, if not big, of an a-hole as I was, treated his staff like crap. And I love this guy. I said, him and I are going to get along great. So we talked and had a great time. And when I went into his shop and met with his staff and talked with his staff, what they said about him was like they hated him. They just worked there because they needed a job. And it stung me because that's what I was doing to my staff, is they were working to me because they needed that job so bad. And I was treating them so poorly that I imagine they were talking about me the same way. And that's when I came back, sat everybody down, apologized for being that way, and just changed the whole direction of the company. It was, and it's been a awesome change. I mean, going from really uptight and on everybody's butt about numbers and this and that to just mellowing out and letting things happen and praising people and working on the positive end instead of the negative end. It was truly amazing.
Let me say right now, and I was going to wait and save this till the end, but you have been so forthcoming and so honest with your answers. Thank you. Hey, let's do Under the Hood. What's the best advice you've ever received?
I think it, and not only for business, but for life, because I see this, and I've lived this philosophy, my wife and I, is never spend more than you make. And we never go into debt. You know, I mean, you do for your house and a few things, of course. But I have so many employees, when I hire them, the next week they're driving up in a brand new vehicle. I don't own a brand new vehicle. I buy used vehicles and fix them. That's what we do, for goodness sakes. You know, I mean, it's just these people live way beyond their means, and they go without a paycheck for a week. They don't know what to do, and it's truly sad that, I mean, our whole society is like this. And my wife and I went without a lot of things for a lot of years, you know, because we live that way. Even at the shop, I would like to buy a piece of equipment. I go, Robin, here, I want to buy this equipment. It's this much money. She says, okay, I'll save it for you. And somehow she saves the money and we pay for it. We don't go into debt over equipment. And she just has helped our company tremendously.
What a great partnership with your wife. You say she's active part-time?
Well, she was always a stay-at-home mom. You know, we have two children, 20 and 24 now. And once the kids, you know, a few years ago got out of school, She came to me and said, I'm bored. I want to come to work. So I have this big office. So, of course, she moved in, took over half of it. So it was a challenge in itself. So we agreed not to be together for too long in the office together. So that works out well. And so she came in, and I don't know how she finagled it. She must know the owner, but she comes in Monday through Friday about 10 to 2 and takes Thursdays and sometimes Fridays off. So I don't know where she got those great hours, but, you know.
She must know the boss pretty well. Gene, true differentiation brings value to the customer. What is Certified Automotive's differentiation?
I think from the customer reaction, I mean, anybody can fix a car, bolt parts on a car, and most of the time make it work. And that's what the challenge is, how to make yourself different. And I think we have the best, no hassle, no argument. If something goes wrong, we're attentive. We jump right on it. We fix it, no matter what it is. And so many of my friends in the business, when I talk to them, well, gee, I put brakes on the car and now the seat squeaks. That's not my responsibility, blah, blah, you know, and we fix the squeaky seat and don't charge them or, you know, I mean, it's just no hassle. I think the customer's biggest fear, short of having to bring the car in and spending money, is what happens when I have to go back. And they don't want to be hassled. They don't want to, you know, have an argument. They don't want it to be something else. You know, they just want to be taken care of. It's bad enough they have to take another day off of work or whatever to bring it in. So I think I pride myself on our, you know, just get it done. Doesn't matter what it costs the company. And if somebody's unhappy, write them a check and say, thank you very much. There's other places that can, you know, if we truly can't make somebody happy. I've developed this PC model. I call it the perfect customer. And if you can't be my perfect customer and trust me, and then I'm trusting you to bring your car in, I want to take care of it, I want to be your go-to guy, then let's part friends. I'll give you your money back and you can find somebody that, because every person and every customer is not your customer. And mm-hmm. And that's another thing that owners don't recognize. They get themselves in trouble by taking in this whole bunch of cars and they're not qualified and just they're not, you know, able to handle the rush.
Anything holding you back right now?
Honestly, my biggest challenge with everything is staff. I've kind of built myself into a hole because I've always hired older people on the service counter. And it's funny because I like to hire younger technicians and train them up. And I'm totally opposite on the front counter, and I've kind of realized, and I'm on a search right now to bring in a young man to train him up on the service counter, because these older guys are very challenged with technology. They're set in their ways. They want to come in and have a job. And to me, the job is just over broke. They come in, they make their money, they go home, they don't want to look at a trade magazine, they don't want to think about the industry, they don't want to think about improving, they just want to work because they're almost to that age where they can't retire because they've lived beyond their means, but they have to have a job. So it's like they're almost in a miserable situation and they're not excited about the industry or the company.
Any special amenities, interactive media, digital assets, or features that make your customer experience unique? Now, let me say, I've looked at your website, and it looks like you have an absolutely cool waiting room.
Well, yeah. The old TV that sits there, it's the old swivel unit. That was my wife and I's first TV when we got married, an old Zenith console that swivels. Man, we thought we were all that back in the day. Actually, most of the stuff in our waiting room was given to us by customers. We started collecting things, and they just, hey, I found this old car. I found this old stuff, and we just started putting it in cases, and it, people come in and appreciate the older technology. We also have AutoNet TV that runs on that old TV. You know, mm-hmm. I have an electronic inspection sheet, which has been phenomenal. We have messaging systems to communicate from the technicians to the service advisors, because our building's kind of long, so it's a long walk from the back to the front. Mm-hmm. talk, so we have a very good communication systems. Every employee has a company email, so if we need to blast out some information, everybody can get it on their company email, and they can access it from home, of course. And I'm really excited because I want to move into the touchscreen self-check-in era, which I have RO Writer, and RO Writer Touch and some other products are coming out to where a customer can come in, grab a tablet, self-check themselves in, and then, you know, the service advisor can come in after the fact and make sure that, you know, everything's going on. I'm real excited to get into that. But again, challenged by my older guys. They're not embracing it. It's going to be, that's, you know, you asked the question, that makes me sad that I don't have staff that is excited about the new ways to do business and the new technology.
Well, speaking of technology, what percent do you buy online from your parts suppliers?
Almost everything. I'll bet 70 to 80% or more. I mean, if it's a common part, it's done online. The only thing, you know, I wish the dealers had some way to, you know, hook up to their network and inventory like we do with our parts stores. We have five different, you know, suppliers that we use. And RO Writer, again, is such a beautiful system that it just brings them all up at the same time. You can click and point and compare and find who has it, who doesn't. It's really, you know, with the systems they have now, just phenomenal.
Amazing technology today.
I love it.
This is the end of part one with Gene Morrill from Certified Automotive. Part two will be in episode 7. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.